He who corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Apparently, if you read between the lines, the simple do not turn in at the invitation of wisdom. Apparently, you can't teach simple people anything. If you give instruction to a wise man, he'll learn from you, and he'll be wiser still. But you teach a foolish man, and you get a bust in the nose for your pains. That's kind of the irony of life, when you think about it. The only ones present to hear the preacher's sermon on church attendance are the people who come to church. I've always been amused at these temperance gatherings where someone gets up and shouts about the importance of temperance to people who are already completely temperate, as we have strangely learned to call these people who are intemperately abstaining. The wise, or well, one other example, a seminar, racial relations seminar, where people who are convinced that racial prejudice is one of the deepest evils of our society all get together and listen to someone preach a sermon against racial prejudice. That's one of the ironies. The wise grow wiser, the foolish grow wiser. Often have we said, oh, gee, I just wish so-and-so could have been here. But of course, he wasn't. The reason you wish he could have been there is because he's the kind of person who won't come. Then that has gifts. The rich grow richer and the poor grow poorer. I don't know, maybe there's a kind of a grand Parkinson's law of some kind that covers all of these cases, but I'm only interested in that one about wisdom. Of course, wisdom here does not mean intelligence. Smarts. The ability to score high on a Stanford Binet test and get a generous college scholarship. Wisdom is not something that can be neatly correlated with IQ or educational level. If that's what the writer meant by wisdom, then verse 10, the last verse of the Old Testament lesson, would be silly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I have known some students, some very pious students, who suspected that the fear of the Lord was the beginning of intelligence and who prayed very devoutly just before final examination. But surely you do not learn calculus more easily, or memorize French verbs more quickly, or devise better scientific theories because you have the fear of the Lord. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is a moral, as much as or more than an intellectual quality. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. But correct a scoffer or reprove a wicked man, and that's when you get busted in the nose. The wise man is the reprovable man. Here is the fountain spring and the source of his wisdom. You can correct him. He accepts reproof and thanks you for it. He is wise because he doesn't think he is. He acknowledges his limitations. I had a teacher once who was commenting on the graduate students that he tried to hire each year as the head of the department, to fill all the vacancies in his department. And he said, I remember once very vividly, he was commenting on the people, the graduates of a very distinguished university. He said, they're very clever, but they have no wisdom. They can take anything apart, but they can't put anything together. They remind me of little boys who wonder what makes butterflies so colorful. And they take them all apart to find out and wind up with ashes in their hands. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we've heard that so many times. If you've gone to any Christian college, you have heard that ad nauseam at the commencement exercises, you know, beginning of the year, end of the year. But is that anything besides an empty slogan or something, you know, that you pay a guy to chisel in stone above the main entrance to the library on a Christian campus? I think that it is a meaningful slogan. The fear of the Lord is reverence. It is an attitude grounded in respect for that which is more than ourselves, which we cannot control. It is an attitude of openness, of receptivity, because there's more going on out there than we have been able to capture. It is something that can be found among scholars and among those who are illiterate, among the young and the very old, among those who pass IQ tests and those who want. but it is always the beginning of wisdom. More than that, it is the beginning of life itself. For life is a gift, and only those people can keep it who know how to receive it, how to receive all things with thanksgiving. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we have so little life, it is because we are not ready to receive. If we possess so little, it is because we are fundamentally suspicious of gifts. If we are so bound up in ourselves, it is because we refuse anything we have not earned.